MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
All right, let's stay on an employment theme. And across Africa, a majority of the workforce feels ready to adapt to new ways of working, is excited about opportunities to learn and grow into their role, and has experienced recent changes that make them feel more optimistic about the future of the company they work for. Just some of the key findings emerging from the PwC Global Workforce Hopes and Fears Survey 2024. More now from Dr. Dylan Govender, who is PwC Africa People and Organization Leader. Dr. Govender, welcome. And first of all, what do we mean by new ways?
Yeah, I think there's quite a bit of optimism around the huge population, or rather the workforce from an Africa perspective, saying they're excited about the new ways of working. I guess the new ways of working really entail digitization in terms of the hybrid ways of working post-COVID world, where we can work online, provided we have the digital assets to be able to do that, and are quite productive in terms of, from a performance perspective, in terms of the way organizations are interacting with them and they contributing to the bigger picture as well. I say in the post-COVID world as well, a lot of things have changed, not just the ways of working, but the ways people are being measured in terms of performance. And they seem to be quite pleased. But I think the big attribute there is around the digitization, around automation, around Gen AI, specifically like ChatGPT and DALL-E as well.
So much has changed, but difficult surely to reconcile this with the number of people who simply feel overwhelmed by the pace of change and maybe even fail or struggle to understand its rationale.
No, absolutely. And if you looked at the African cut in terms of the statistics, there's a lot of anxiety among the workforce from an Africa perspective. They're quite nervous about the rapid pace of change. So change is inevitable, as we all know. But I think the concern from them is the pace at which it's happening. So almost on a weekly basis, you're getting new structures that are put together, new operating models, new ways of working, adjustment in policies, procedures. So I guess, Jeremy, what's happening is that they're feeling overwhelmed. There's an anxiety around how quick these changes are happening, and are they able to cope and to embrace these changes on an ongoing basis?
There might be a level of anxiety, but interestingly, the report also says that job satisfaction has increased, but also highlights that 45% of those surveyed have little or nothing left for savings or for extras. It's difficult to find the disconnect between job satisfaction and financial stability. What is the report saying?
Yeah, interesting. The report, as you alluded to the fact that, there's a great degree of satisfaction in the ways of working, and I guess hybrid and having the ability to work from home has been a good thing. But everything comes at a price, Jeremy. I mean, if you look on the mental health side, you've seen burnout and mental health issues become a reality. And I guess that's the sacrifice of not just working from home, but working long hours from home, extended hours compared to what you would normally be doing if you were in the office, traveling through traffic, having a coffee at the office, engaging with the fellow colleagues. So absolutely, there's a bit of a conundrum. Your other point was around the fact that you're quite right, and this was a shocking one for me. A substantial 45% of the African workforce say they have little or nothing left over for savings, holidays, or extras. And this has serious implications, Jeremy, for employers and around the employee value proposition. How do you keep people engaged, even if at an extent of not being able to pay them? And this calls for, I guess, attention to the macroeconomic policies at a government level as well.
So how do you keep them engaged? Do you have any thoughts in that respect?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as PwC, we're a big employer of youngsters of the workforce as well. We've come up with new innovative. Now, let me just first say, Jeremy, that the old policies and procedures around employee value proposition, around recognition, is not necessarily valid and relevant at this point in time. We're looking at the workforce wanting immediate gratification. They're looking at ways not necessarily to go up the corporate ladder, but looking at moving laterally in terms of specialized skill. So what we've done is we've looked at career pathing in different kind of, with different lens. we looked at ways in which to recognize and reward people for the specialism and the specialized skills they bring into the organization, even from a remuneration perspective. And so they don't have to go up the corporate ladder to be earning more money in terms of the specialism they bring through. I think the second point is we often assume that HR, human resources, is the, you know, the custodian to keep people engaged. But gone are those days, because the workforce is now looking for engagement from a business perspective. What that means is that leaders in business need to pivot and become more engaged with their workforce, have the career conversation, do more mentoring and coaching, understand what the youngsters' aspirations are and so forth. We live in a personalized age of employment. And having done this survey for a number of years, we know never before that we have such a personalized age of employment where employees are looking for value propositions that can, you know, almost sync with their own values and purpose. They're asking the question around, what is your organization doing in terms of goodwill from a societal purpose perspective? So we're doing a lot of work in that space, and we're involving our workforce to become active in that space so they get true value from what they're doing.
You talk about the age of personalization, but the report also says that over 50% of the African workforce anticipates significant job impact from technologies like generative AI, for instance. So the difficulty, Dr. Govind, I imagine, is how businesses can ensure that these technological changes that you've already referred to lead to job creation rather than job displacement. And that, I would suggest to you, is the big fear.
Absolutely. You spot on, Jeremy. It's a big fear. And we know in our country, as South Africa, we've got what I refer to as the endemic, which is the whole thing around unemployment crisis that we sit with. And it's a conundrum again. So once again, it is something that, you know, we need to embrace modern ways of working, technology as well, but not at the expense of, you know, letting go of jobs and letting people go out to be contributing to the unemployment rate, which is a perpetual one at the moment. So what's important is to find a synergy, and how do we, yes, adopt new ways of working from a technological perspective, but how do we skill our people up in other facets of skills that will be required and relevant even to work in synergy with machine or with automation? And that's critical, because we cannot do things the way we've been doing in many years in terms of training, capacity building, and empowerment. We need to ensure that some jobs will become irrelevant because automation and AI will take over that. But in order to give more certainty to employees, I think it's a twofold thing, Jeremy. Employers need to start looking into the interest of how they skill their people up, but individuals need to see ways of skilling themselves up in terms of embracing new technology, but also embracing the new facets of learning that's coming through. I mean, it lends itself to this whole concept of skills first, skills-based organization. And quite interesting, in South Africa, we're seeing a huge shift both in public and private sector, where they're focusing more on skills that people bring to the table and competencies rather than just the qualification or the role they performed in the past.
Dr. Dayalan Govinda, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate your time.